We are in the book of Mark for our scripture reading today. If you would like to open your Bibles with me, or I was going to suggest to some of my younger friends, get the bulletin and look at the picture while we are reading. The picture is great to represent our scripture this morning. The book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people had heard that he had come home. They gathered in such a large number that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by the four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of God.
As a pastor, I have favorite preachers in just about every denomination. My favorite Presbyterian preacher is a minister whose name is Reverend Frederick Rogers. Many of you know him as Mr. Rogers. Did you know he was a seminary graduate, a minister called to ministry with children? I heard him say something in a video that I've captured. I want you to hear what he said, and I want you to remember this the rest of your life, okay? Would you show that video, please?
You know, my mother used to say, long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, "Always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines." That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
Amen. If you look for the helpers, you'll know there's hope. I have been so moved by the stories that are coming out of the hurricanes, especially in Houston. I read this week about a Mexican bakery that worked overtime baking bread because they knew the storm would be so bad. They stayed so long, the workers, the four bakers, that they couldn't get home. And they had to stay in the bakery. And, of course, they were worried about their families, couldn't get a hold of them. But they had to stay 3 days in this bakery. And while they were there, they decided, well, we're just not going to sit here. We're going to do something. And round the clock, they baked bread. When the owner finally was able to get to the bakery, his workers had baked 4,000 loaves of bread. Every shelf, every space was full, and as soon as they could get out, they took those loaves of bread to the emergency centers to feed those who were needing food. A man in Cincinnati heard that story. He was so moved. You know, we don't hear stories like this much on the news, do we? I want you to know that America is still great, and there are great people in America, and all we hear is the bad news. Well, I want to tell you, there's a lot of good news going on, too. I wish they would just develop a station where it's nothing but good news. What a difference it'd make in our lives. But a man in Cincinnati heard that story. You know what he did? He called the baker. He said, I want to pay for all your supplies, and I'm going to pay for your employees' salaries as well. There are good people in this world. Fred Rogers says to us what his mama taught him, look for the helpers. We're going to ordain deacons today. The Bible calls them deacons, but in one way, they are model helpers. They're going to model for us what a helper is, and we're going to follow their example. I chose that text in Mark 2 because I love that story. And the four helpers who loved their friend enough to pick him up, take him to Jesus, when they could not get in for the crowd, I tell you what, give me friends like these four. They went up on the roof, tore the roof apart, and lowered their friend down to Jesus. And you know, Jesus was moved. He really was. He was moved. And I want you to read your text because in verse 5 of that text that Kelly read, Jesus says to the helpers, your faith, not the sick man, your faith, you helpers, your faith has made this man well. And then he turned to the paralyzed man. That's what the text says. Did you ever think that you would have that much power as a helper? That truly miraculous things can happen if we truly want to be helpers. Look for the helpers. Richard, Jan, Martha, Ben, Frank, look for the helpers, but you be the helpers. We need models, and we want to follow your example. For preachers, especially for this one of my favorite texts is found in Exodus 17. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there, you can. If not, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read you this text out of Eugene Peterson's The Message, which I love because I love the way he expresses this story. And it's a wonderful story. I think it's a preacher's story. I love it. In fact, I just claim it as a preacher's story. But I want you to read with me Exodus 17, beginning with verse 8. And I'm going to read from The Message. Amalek came and fought Israel at Rephidim. Moses ordered Joshua, select some men for us and go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow I will take my stand on top of the hill holding God's staff. Joshua did what Moses ordered in order to fight Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. It turned out that whenever Moses raised his hands, Israel was winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek was winning. But Moses' hands got tired. So they got a stone and set it under him. He sat on it, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side. So his hands remained steady until the sun went down. Joshua defeated Amalek and its army in battle. Every pastor needs helpers like Aaron and Hur. I have so many in this congregation, I couldn't begin to name them all. But I want to tell you what happened Friday morning following Jim Clayton's service on Friday evening, one of our precious members. I was going over my notes for today and so forth, and the telephone rang. It was my favorite member, George Gregory. You all know George Gregory? And I answer it, and George says, you okay? And I said, I beg your pardon? He said, no, I want to know. You okay? And I said, okay, yeah, I'm doing fine. He said, I'm worried about you. I said, you don't need to be worried about me, George. I'm okay. I don't know what it was that moved him. Thursday night at the service, we forgot to turn the pulpit light on. And with my eye difficulty, especially my right eye, glaucoma, I could not even see my notes hardly. And I was trying to, I was standing here, I don't know if you were here, if you noticed my pause, I tried to act like it was a dramatic pause so you wouldn't expect anything, but I really couldn't see my notes, hardly. And I thought, well, I think I know everything I want to say, I'm so afraid I'm going to miss something that I wanted to say, etc., and I don't know if that got him to thinking. But I thanked him, and I said, George, it means a lot that you would call and check on me. And, you know, George tries to be mean, but he's not. He's really a little puppy dog. And I love him. He's real. There's nothing. Listen, George is George. But I tell you what, don't mess with the preacher because you're going to have to fight George. And here is a man who is not here today because he's had one knee surgery. He's got to have the other one replaced. He's hurting himself, and yet he's concerned about me. That's what a helper is. Heavy hands lift them. Well, I want to tell you, I don't know if it was catching or what, and she had no idea I was going to do this. Right after George called, I get this email from my other favorite member, Laura, his wife. Now, I want to read you what Laura said to me. You know, you're not supposed to tell things or you lose your reward, but the Lord is going to give you this reward. Is Laura here? Did she run home? She had to run home. There she is. The Lord's still going to reward you this, Laura. Dear favorite pastor, I am sending you a special blessing. For some reason, you're on my heart and mind more than usual. I just feel you need the arms of Christ to hug you and to surround you with love. God is love, as you have demonstrated through your love and compassion. You are and have been such a blessing to us. I want you to know that. I will be praying all throughout the day for you. I am not an eloquent writer, but do want you to know how much we care. I pray for you and Patricia and that you have a wonderful time on your trip to Ireland. Stay safe, rest, enjoy, be refreshed. With much love and respect, Laura Gregory. The Lord orchestrates things like this. Because when my hands were heavy, and they were, here they come, lifting them up. Almost every Sunday morning, I'm an early bird. I am an early riser. And I usually get a text from one of our members. Just, I love you, Pastor, praying for you. The beautiful day, without fail, I get that. I have a member from time to time to say, you and Patricia don't need to fix lunch. It's in their freezer. And she has made our lunch. And I mean real food. Beans and cornbread and greens and, you know, good food. They don't have to do that. I could go on this side. I could call people's names out over here. I could call people's names here. I could call people's names here. I could call people's names here. I've just selected three or four today to let you know that you have helped me. I wouldn't be who I am or wouldn't be able to accomplish what I accomplish if it were not for you. And in particular, our deacons, our model helpers. You know, in the early church, deacons were distinguished from elders in that they were not the governing body of the church. They were called benefactors. That's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful word in Greek as well. And one of my favorite books is my Dictionary of Synonyms. I just love the etymology and the meaning behind words. And I went, Scripture uses the word benefactor, but this is what it means. Helper, supporter, backer, assistant, well-wisher, protector, promoter, Richard and Jan and Martha and Ben and Frank. That's what we need you to do for us. Help us, support us, back us, assist us, well wish us, protect us, promote us. It's your job. It's your calling. I want you to listen to a text. In fact, if you have your Bibles, I do want you to turn to this one. Romans chapter 16. I want to read to you something that the Apostle Paul wrote. Two verses. Romans 16. Thank you for turning. Romans 16, and I want to read verses 1 and 2. And I'm reading from the New International Version, which most of you have. Romans 16, beginning with verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. I ask that you receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and give her any help she may need from you, for she has been benefactor, helper, supporter, backer, assistant, well-wisher, protector, promoter of many people, including me, said the Apostle Paul. Paul had heavy hands, you know he did, with the burden of the churches he had on him. And here comes this woman named Phoebe, a deacon in this church, and lifts his heavy hands, supports him. One person has said, being a helper is not thinking less of ourselves, but just thinking of ourselves less and thinking of others more. And you know, I have called the names of these who are being ordained. Those of you who are married, I address your spouse in the same way I address you. I charge you in the same way I'm charging them. You are to live exemplary lives before us as well. One of the qualifications of a deacon who is married is that your spouse has the same high calling that you do, and these do, and we're grateful. In Philippians chapter 2, we read that Jesus emptied himself by taking upon himself the form of a servant. One of the things I remember from being in Brazil, Brazilians, is I remember the terminology, ele se esvaziou. He emptied himself for others. And precious ones, that's what our deacons do. They empty themselves to become a servant. And I tell you, there are some of the people that I know that I look at them and I say, I wish I could have the same depth of passion for serving that these do. They model it. And these five that we're setting aside today, they definitely model. I don't know if you would know this name, Marion Mill. She lived a fairy tale life. She was born in a royal palace in Hungary. Her first spoon was solid gold, wealth beyond anything we could imagine. And when she went to college, she met a medical student named Otto. They fell in love, and her dream was to become a movie star in Hollywood. So Otto gave up his call to the medical profession, moved with his beautiful wife to Hollywood, where she was hoping to be a star. But while they were there, Otto himself fell in love with filmmaking, and he became a famous filmmaker himself, Otto Preminger. One of my favorite movies was Exodus. You remember that back in the 60s? And the theme from Exodus, I think, is one of the most beautiful pieces of music I've ever heard. In fact, I told Patricia, I want that played at my funeral. And she said, we're not playing Exodus at your funeral. I love it. I love, you Google the theme from Exodus and you'll know what I'm talking about. It is eerily beautiful. And he had other films as well. But what happened to Marion is sad. She got caught up in the Hollywood lifestyle, became a drug addict and an alcoholic. She became everything that you would think that she would not become, she became. And it was so bad that Otto Preminger divorced her. And she went back to Europe, a broken woman, never having made any films of note. And she went to this, she heard that a doctor was going to speak that she had heard about, Albert Schweitzer, and she said she was going to hear him speak. And Marion went to hear him speak about his work in Africa, and she was so moved that she asked for a meeting with him and begged him, Albert Schweitzer, to let her go to Africa with him. Everyone thought, what a ridiculous idea, but did you know that Albert Schweitzer said yes? And she went back and spent the rest of her life in Africa taking care of poor Africans. And in her autobiography, she called her autobiography, All I Want Is Everything. And when she died, in the New York Times, her obituary took a line out of her autobiography, All I Want Is Everything. And this is what was in her obituary in the New York Times. Albert Schweitzer says there are two kinds of people. There are the helpers and the non-helpers. I thank God that he allowed me to become a helper, and in helping, I found everything. That's what it's all about. Do you know the Holy Spirit is called the helper? In Sunday school today, we were studying the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said, I will send another who is like me. Jesus was a great helper, was he not? And he is the helper. He will help you. And that's what we're praying today, that the helper will help our helpers help people. Amen? How many of you think that truly, if this spirit of helping just engulfed us, that it would make a difference in our faith community here? It would make a difference in our community, where we work. I love what Rick Warren says. He says, we can measure our servant's heart by how we respond when others treat us as servants. That's how it is. Are you the first to offer help? Can you dedicate yourself, deacons, members, friends, to living a life of being a helper? There are helpers and there are non-helpers. Be a helper. We're going to ordain, lay our hands on these five. And when they come, I will introduce them to you. In fact, I'm going to ask if you would you come, deacon candidates, with your spouse and come and take one of our seats here in the front, if you would come at this time. Those who are church members, you know these who have lived among us. Richard, would you raise your hand? Okay, I see that hand down there, Richard. Richard and Brenda. Jan, would you raise your hand? And your sweet daughter, Kelly, is by you. Martha, would you raise your hand? And Michael, who is behind you. Ben, would you raise your hand? And Emily. And Frank, would you raise your hand, who is with Anna? This is what we're going to do. In the past, we have each come up and prayed. In order for us to move smoothly, I want you to do something else today. I'm going to pray for us at the end of this. I'll ask our ordained to come first. All I want you to do, one of the deacons asked me this week, what am I supposed to do? I said, come up and do three things. Tell them you love them. You're going to pray for them. And be there for them when that happens. Introduce yourself as you come, because some of us don't know each other by name. And we ask that you move quickly through this, but put your hand on both of them, okay? Lay your hands on both of them. Say a word, encourage them, and then just return to your seat. Afterwards, we will ask any family, close friends to do the same, or church members. We want you to do that as well, but this is an attitude of prayer as we do this. Visitors, if you're here, our guests, you're here at a very holy time. These are our leaders. These are the people we look to guide us. And I know that you will pray with us. We're so glad you're celebrating this day with us And we want you to participate today. If you're a guest and you want to do this, you just come on. Lay your hands on these folks and let them know that you're praying for them. So may all of us be in an attitude of prayer. I'm going to ask that our ordained people, would you move first? Would you come? And probably we'll do this the way we do our missions offerings. From these two, you will both look toward the walls and move out in that direction, okay? So why don't we do our two farthest aisles first? Ordained people, would you go toward the wall, come up, come down through this way if you can. And if you can touch all of these folks, that's fine. All of them will be touched. If you can't touch all of them yourself, they are touched today. So we welcome you to come. May we be in an attitude of prayer as we move through the ordination.